Friday, March 19th, Alinda is 21 years old. After the storm of last night, I woke early, a bad habit of mine when there is stress. Chores during the morning, went to the warehouse to tag some furniture to go to Texas. It always gives me an eerie feeling to go to that depository of the leftovers of many administrations. And then by Brentano's to get a gift certificate for Linda's birthday present, so she can go and buy books to her heart's content. Although her real present is Wari Lynn's coming and her surprise party. Then to Bojana's to pick up zinnia seeds for the ranch, and I'm easily seduced by a rainbow of varieties. Who ever emerged from a seed store with just as few things as they went in to buy? Back at the White House, I had lunch with Abe and an opportunity to talk with him for about 2 hours on the library, the Johnson City House, whether we should publish Mrs. Johnson's book, and most important, whether I should do the TV show with ABC about the beautification of Washington. Then work with Ashton and Bess, with Mary V. Busby on arranging the books in Lyndon's office and in the reception room. I was sorry to hear that it was bitter cold in Texas, down to 30, although golden sunshine, and Lyndon had had hardly any rest, both Selma and Vietnam erupting during the night. Then I had the long-delayed, almost a year, session with architect Donald Dreher, who is designing the closets in the little room that is a combined dressing room and office. My favorite view over Andrew Jackson's magnolias to the Washington Monument, and out the other window to Lyndon's office. All day long, there was an undercurrent of excitement, for me at least, about Lyndon's party, and word that Wari Lynn's plane was delayed, that instead of getting in at 5, it was going to be 6 or 7, and I feared she might not be there in time for the party at 9:30. I went to the Azalea Festival's party for Lucy at the showroom, where she was to meet her court, a princess from each of the NATO countries, 15, I believe. She just finished a news conference, and the people in charge of the festival were wide-eyed at how well she had performed. She was really setting out to make them glad they had chosen her queen. I met dozens of people from Norfolk and had plenty of chances to tell all of them how grateful we were for the 500 azaleas the city of Norfolk had given to the beautification project. There was a happy moment of reunion when Linda Bird greeted Mr. Hirschbiel of Norfolk. He'd been in charge of the festival when she was queen. It'll always be one of the highlights in her life. And then the vice president was there. How generous he is about being nice to young people. I appreciated his coming. Lucy's guest list was liberally sprinkled with people she had worked with during the campaign last fall. The young Senator Birch Bayh, the Jimmy Symingtons, a young girl who'd come all the way from Detroit for this party. Her parents had opened their home last October for a gathering of young Democrats. The Lord Hands, the Warren Woodwards, of course Willie Day. Lots of people who had helped me raise Lucy. And then, presently, it was time to go to Lucy's party for Linda at Georgetown City Tavern, a discotheque, the first time I'd ever been to a cafe with that weird descriptive title. It was downstairs, a very small room, very dark, tables the size of a dinner plate, the bar, the dance floor, everything on a tom-thumb scale. All of us were on tiptoe, waiting for the arrival of Linda Bird. My coming was well-timed. About 2 minutes later, down the steps with Dave, she came into the darkened room, and then to a bursting of flash bulbs and a concert of cries from all of us. She fell into Wari Lynn's arms in the door. That delicious bear hug was worth the price of that round-trip ticket to me. Wari Lynn has the gift of happiness and dispenses it liberally. It was a night of reunion. Lucy had carefully combed every guest list she could find of Linda Bird's friends, and several of the NCS girls were there. Jennifer Urquhart and Margot Mickey, and one of her favorite teachers, Ms. Atchison. Stafford Hutchinson, so handsome and attractive, down from Princeton, or is it Harvard? And also the good-looking John Bitar, with whom Linda's been having some dates. The Birch Bayh, Dr. Travell, Willie Day, of course. The Lloyd Hands and Woody came by later. There were two friends from George Washington, Susan and Sherry. Wherever Linda Bird is, she always wants Her agents' wives, she's very fond of them all as families, and several of her favorite aides with their girlfriends. It was loud, crowded, gay, dark. Probably the sort of atmosphere I would have liked at 21, too. But I couldn't help finding it humorous that anyone would prefer it to the White House. Lucy emphatically did. She turned thumbs down on having a surprise party in the Blue Room. We had movies, my own, beginning when Linda Bird was 6 months old, on up to when she was a fat, chubby little 9-year-old. All the guests properly in stitches of laughter. I sat in the corner making happy reminiscences with Willie Day, Mrs. Atchison, who is right proud of her 2 students, and Stafford. The dinner was good, and a little before 12 o'clock I came home, glowing with the warmth of being around a lot of people who love each other, particularly Warren Lynn. But still, vaguely discontented that the great 21st birthday party had not been quite great. One thing had been, Lucy had been utterly delighted with the idea of having a party for her sister, of planning it herself, and she'd obviously had a whale of a good time. Another thing had been nice. During the evening, Lennon's daddy had called from Texas, interspersing it, as I found later, between calls to and from Governor Wallace and the Department of Justice.